This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I don't even know how to. Like, what do I do? How does one have fun?
You're listening to Jeans and an Ice Top, your go-to podcast when it comes to navigating adulting and the big life stuff. With me, Chels. With no guidebook, most of us are fumbling through life, trying to remember to take the bins out, with no real idea what we want to do career-wise, what on earth love is, and did anyone mention taxes? Through some oversharing, way too many cups of coffee, and some little nuggets of advice, I hope to make the existential crisis that bit more bearable by reminding you that you're not alone. And sometimes, it's about focusing on the things we can control and keeping things simple, like jeans and a nice top.
Hey team, and welcome to episode 5 of Jeans and a Nice Top. We have passed the halfway point of the first series. Can you believe it? I'm so shocked. I don't really know how to process this information. And I know a lot of you are probably going to be listening to this release hungover. And what better way than to listen to the eloquent and beautiful voice of Amy Victoria Long. Even her name, this is just giving you a premise of I could listen to her voice all day. She's just one of those people that you love to listen to. And not only that, she is a brand founder of the Body Beautiful Method, a PT online coach for Pilates, bar and strength and core conditioning. She has an all-round balanced bougie attitude to fitness and well-being and is somebody that I really aspire and look up to. She has a really modest outlook on her progress and where she is in life, but she's also very driven, a dog mom and just a bougie queen. In this episode, we discuss everything from our favourite skincare lockdown love, starting a fitness journey when you may have fallen off the bandwagon. I'm holding my hands up here. I'm definitely an ebb and flow kind of gal when it comes to fitness and eating well. Hashtag balance. Implementing manifestation strategies without feeling like baby Yoda. And most importantly, there is a guest feature from two of the cutest doggos ever. And if that isn't a reason to follow Amy on Instagram and realize the benefits of animals for mental health, I don't know what is. As always, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe, and follow me on Instagram at smiletohealth and at jeansandanicetoppod. Have a good hangover weekend, chickas. Ciao! Hey team, welcome to another episode of Jeans and a Nice Top. Today, I am blessed with the fabulous Amy Victoria Long. I feel like I have to full name her because it just completes the whole level of bougie and fabulousness that she is. She is a PT and online fitness coach, the founder of Body Beautiful Method and Level Up London. She's a trainer of Live Now Fitness. She's featured in everything from Vogue to Women's Health. And most importantly, she's a dog mom of Gizmo and Dodger, the two little pups you will ever see in your life, which you will find out when you follow her on Instagram. But overall, she is one to watch. You don't want to miss out on this one. And I'm really excited to start this episode. I always feel so corny doing that, but I've had a babble. But do you want to actually go into a bit more detail on who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I mean, you can probably actually hear my dogs in the background. So I apologize for that if you hear them. They are very loud, even the small one, the Chihuahua, who is called Gizmo, whiny, barking. They want all of my attention. So that's probably like my biggest achievement, that I am a dog mum.
The best achievement ever.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so happy. But yeah, I am a trainer. I've been a trainer for about 6 years now, nearly 7 years, because I'm 27. Maybe I'll take a year off because of COVID. So we'll be turning 28 anytime soon.
Oh gosh, I'm doing exactly the same.
Because you know, I'm actually going to have 2 birthdays in lockdown, which is absolutely wild.
When's your birthday?
The 30th of March. So I'm like, really sad. 2 birthdays in lockdown. So I'm still going to stay 26.
100%. You should be like the queen and have like a half birthday just in the summer.
Oh, maybe I'm going to do that when we actually get to go on holiday. What are you talking about? Oh, me, what I do, but other than being a dog mum. I have a nice mix of clients, from celebrity clients to some members of the royals to people that come to my classes. We actually met at Bodyism because we used to train there together.
Yeah, we did.
Which is so cool. And yeah, I guess it's just grown. It's actually grown a lot for me during lockdown, which I'm very happy about.
Oh, I'm glad. I feel like people have really started to take fitness seriously in the lockdown because it's actually given them time to focus on themselves and go, actually, I'm probably not looking after my body as much as I should and like looking for the support.
Yeah, no, exactly. I completely agree. A lot of people have come for one-on-one sessions because they've noticed that they've become like really kyphotic being at the laptops all the time, or they just feel really tight in their lower back and tight in the fronts of the legs. So they've really wanted to kind of find that balance between working and finding health, and noticing that, you know, being fit and active will actually prevent them from getting kind of illnesses and colds, help with their immune system. So yeah, people are really appreciating the whole health scene now, which is great.
That's so good. And it's Pilates, is that what you predominantly do, or do you do other forms of training as well? I mean, I love them. I'm absolutely obsessed with bar. Obsessed with
that. You're like fabulous.
We say this.
I have to be like that.
Yeah, I can like cheat it. That's the problem. So it's like, yeah, I love it. But the burn of bar is something you'll never experience lifting weights. It's like internal, like your whole body shakes.
And that's so true. And I love it. And I love it when guys come to my class thinking, oh, yeah, it's so easy. And it's actually really, really tough. And they're like, yeah. But
they're like, do you even lift bra?
Plie, and they're like, plie. Oh my god, it hurts so much. I didn't actually start off doing bar and Pilates. I used to do strength and conditioning when I first started as a trainer, but I was approached by one of the studios in London that said, would you like to train for us? I thought, why not? I mean, I don't have two left feet. I did used to go to stage school. This is why I'm so open.
I didn't know that you went to stage school. What one did you go to?
I went to one up in Yorkshire. So I'm from Yorkshire, just outside of York. Yeah, so I went to one, which was actually really good, and I loved it. And that was something I actually did want to pursue when I was younger. I wanted to go into the West End, but then I thought, you know, I got scared. It was more like, I don't think I'm good enough, so I won't do it. So I'll go to university. And then I ended up being in, like, leaving all my uni stuff. Like, I focused on business and fashion side of business. Then I ended up being a PT anyway. So, you know.
Get full circle, exactly. Yeah. Meant to be.
Exactly. Yeah. But from the strength and conditioning and working in a bar studio, I kind of realized how much I loved bar and how great Pilates is. Just kind of like, not just for rehabilitation, but as a workout, it's so good for core conditioning, and it prevented me getting injuries when I did do my strength training. And now I've kind of moved away from the whole strength world and more kind of like a holistic health.
I love that, like a full rounded 360.
Yeah, exactly.
You said really are underestimated as fitness. And like you said, they're such good exercises because anyone can do them, no matter like where you are in your fitness journey. But also, like you said, it's good for preventing injury. I know like bar and Pilates were great for me whilst I was like in my full-time dance training. Too much cardio or strength training on top of it, I was just getting injured left, right and centre. So it was so good. But that's interesting that you started off in the strength and then made the transition across.
Yeah, I loved it. I love all of it, but I do really love bar in particular. And I think I love focusing on women during the pregnancy phase, and there's so many elements, and I think it's a great workout.
I'm going to start off with a quick fire with you. I'm asking everyone at the moment, what are you currently watching and what are you currently reading? It's like some tips for everyone.
Currently watching, I think it's called Behind Her Eyes or His Eyes.
Oh, I've seen this advertised. It's on my watch list. Tell us more.
Good. It's very, very good. I mean, I've just finished it this morning, so I won't give it away, but it's a very different ending to what you'd think it would be.
Oh, okay. Plot twist.
Plot twist. Very interesting. Don't know how to describe it without giving too much away, but definitely worth a watch. It's like a series. You'll get through it. I think it's like 8 episodes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, literally.
Day. And currently reading. Well, actually, I'm not reading anything. I listen to a lot of like podcasts or books, because I find that I'm trying to do two things at the same time. So I'm typing something whilst listening to something. I mean, I could actually take the time and read a physical book because it's so good for you. But I listen.
But it's so hard when you're busy to like pin yourself down and just sit there sometimes and read,
exactly.
I think.
But I know it's so good for like you and your self-care, and I do really enjoy it. But for me, I listen to like things on meditation and kind of like motivational speeches and, yeah, kind of like soulful stuff, I guess.
Nice. What's your favorite, say, podcast or audiobook too at the moment?
Let me find my phone and I'll tell you all the best ones I like.
Yes, please. Just discovered, I'm very late to the trend, Brené Brown. I don't know why it's taken me so long. So Jay Shetty.
Jay Shetty, that's one for me.
Yeah, he is such a good speaker. And actually makes things really accessible, I think, for the younger generation.
I love Gabrielle Bernstein. I've got like four of her books on here.
Yes.
The Secret is on here too. Dr. Rangan. Rise, Sister, Rise by Rebecca Campbell.
Oh, I've not heard of that one. What one's that? What's that about?
Basically, like spiritual sisters and how we all need to bring each other up rather than bring each other down. So much space in the world for everyone to flourish just because someone in your sector is doing what you want to do and they seem to be appearing or to be doing better than you. They're not, and there's still a space for you to encourage them and you to still receive what you want. Another book that I listen to called Girl Code. Like Kara, it's a very similar thing as well, but so it's so interesting and I think it's so encouraging to hear that you can progress in whatever way you want to.
Exactly. I think it's a really refreshing perspective because I think in the 21st century we're made to feel like there's not enough space or only certain people can make it, or like you said, especially in any kind of creative or really popular industries like the performing industry, you're always pinned against one another and compared and like put side by side. And actually, like you said, there is space for everyone because you're going to do it just because someone's doing the same thing as you. Like say a bar, and there's another bar instructor, they're not going to have the same life experiences, same training that you had. They're not going to bring the same opinions and teaching mechanisms that you will. So,
and people are just different. Sometimes one person could have more qualifications, but you just don't warm to them in the same way.
Yeah.
It really is very independent on the person and your connection, I think. She's great. And and I love The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
That is a great book. I read that during lockdown 1.0.
1.0, now one. What happened?
Like, what even? I don't even know what day it is anymore.
It's lost.
It's honestly just lost. And I'm exactly the same. I turned 25 in lockdown, just pretending that I'm not. Didn't happen. I am not approaching 30. I'm not.
I'm closer to 30 than you are. Oh, crazy. Can't believe it. It'll be 28 in a month. That's, for me, that's like so old.
Yeah.
That's old. Like, who is she? Who is she?
Who is this girl? I think there's a lot of expectations that come with being in your later 20s.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even from my mum, she's like, so, you know, Josh, be nice to him because I want to be a grandma soon. And, you know, we want to get married. And it's like, wow, that pressure before 30 to be married and have a child. There really shouldn't be any more. But older generations, different cultural backgrounds, there's really that pressure.
It's terrifying because I think, I don't know if you believe in star signs and stuff, but my main star sign is a Sagittarius and I'm such a free spirit. So the idea of being like locked down and pinned in one place is absolutely terrifying. I don't want to buy a house and be married with like a child I have to look after. I still want to travel the world and make mistakes and figure out who I am.
I know, it is scary. It is really scary actually. But I think at least when being in London, there isn't as much pressure. Like,
yes, 100%.
Which aren't married and don't have children yet. And
yeah.
Like, you're so young. I'm like, thanks, tell me again.
So many, tell me more, tell me more.
Fabulous.
It's so true. Maybe that's why I've gravitated towards here, because I always call it the city of dreams. I know that's so corny, but I always wanted to be the London version of Carrie Bradshaw.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's a little bit Peter Pan syndrome with the men.
Oh, yeah. 100%. The choice of men is a very interesting one. Speaking of love, though, let's talk about your lockdown romance.
Yeah, that's cute, isn't it?
It's super cute. I love it. I love that there's these little pockets of really good stories and like people finding people when the world has gone to shit, so to speak.
Yeah, it's sweet, to be fair. I mean, initially we went on a few dates, were just amazing. And it was like we came out of lockdown. So in the October time.
Nice.
Yeah. We started dating in October. And that was when you could start to go for restaurants and drinks. And I think we went on two or three dates. And then we said, oh, we're going into lockdown, but for November. And it's just going to be a month. And it's like, oh no. So what are we going to do? Because he was living with his parents in New Forest and coming up for training. And then go back down. And then I was just like, just want to stay at my house for like a month. And then that's turned into forever.
Yay! That's so cute.
3 weeks. He's moved in. And that went at the end of February. So yeah, it's about 4.5 months now, isn't it?
How exciting. And I bet the time like is just flown by that you've not even realised.
Not even realised. But it's kind of weird because we were saying that we've done everything backward. We're like, yeah, together like an old married couple. And then we're going back into the real world to actually start dating.
And enjoy dating. I'm exactly the same because I met my boyfriend in October and we had like the odd few dates. But most of our relationship has been locked down, like you said, building furniture, watching movies, cooking. We're like an old married couple, like we have matching slippers. Disgusting. I don't, it's going to be mental where we can actually like go out and enjoy ourselves again. And
I don't even know how to. Like, what do I do? How does one have fun? Not brush their hair? I don't know.
How does one do this anymore? I know we're actually going to have to wear actual clothes, not fitness or loungewear. And I'm just really not. That's the worst thing. Like the idea of putting jeans on right now, too much.
I mean, I feared that before because I just wear gym clothes. And I was taking a step further to the baggiest joggers, hoodies I can find. If yeah, even better. Now, how do I leave this boy aesthetic that I've now moved into?
That you've adopted.
Yeah. And bring it to real life, going for dinner, nice places.
I know. Although I am excited for some of the girly things, like getting my nails done. And I can't wait to sort my roots out because they're shocking.
Holy hold on.
It's the little things, isn't it? I really miss my hairdresser. Like, she's my fairy godmother in this time of darkness.
Eyebrows, eyelashes, everything
needs. Oh, full glam. I've been wanting eyelash extensions for so long, but I always chicken out of them because I'm convinced that I'm going to look like a donkey.
No, you'd look great. I used to get them all the time. The only thing that I found annoying is that I really love to wash my face properly. Like, exfoliants and things, but you have to be careful around your eyelashes. So that's the only thing that puts me off them. And also because I like to sweat a lot when I train, like really hard.
Yeah, same.
That's a bit annoying because one of flake off or whatever and drop into your eye like
I'm blind. I love it. So how did you meet your lover boy?
On Bumble.
I love this. Mine was on Hinge, which is, yeah, I'd never, have you dating apps before?
Yeah, I had, but I'd kind of got to the point where I was like, I'm actually sick of dating apps. They're ridiculous. They're not for me. I'm just like, oh my God, I'm bored. What do I do? You know, when you're like kind of watching TV and like on your phone, like, oh, I'll have a quick look. Did a few scrolls and then he thought I was a catfish because I didn't write anything in my bio. I had 3 pictures and I never attached it to my Instagram. It was just like me with a few pictures, which didn't say anything. And are you real? It's like, yeah, I am.
I am a real person. Yeah. You're just being demure and secretive so they have to get to know you.
Exactly. I don't want them to know everything about me. I scare them away.
I feel that. I like have to ease them in with the weirdness bit by bit. And then I'm like, it's too late. You're trapped now.
Exactly. I've got you. Hook, line and sinker, you cannot leave me. You thought I was all cool and glam and fabulous. I'm not. Yeah. I'm a widow that just sits with her dog in boys' clothes.
That sounds like the dream. Also, I'm so gutted that my listeners can't see right now, but Gizmo is sat here like an absolute legend, just looking all cute and fabulous. He's been poorly, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been really poorly. Listen.
What was wrong with him?
Well, we don't know how it happened, but he's a crazy dog usually. He's like jumping from the sofa to my bed, and my bed's actually really high. We'll play with the other dog. We'll hump the other dog's head nonstop. Like, he's honestly crazy. Like a lovely temperament, will never bite or bark annoyingly. He just barks a little bit. But somehow, whenever he was playing, he's hit his head and fractured his skull. And the little fracture caused the little bleed in his brain. So he had seizures because of it and has been in the hospital for a whole week.
Oh my gosh.
And now he's back and after eating so much medication. Poor little guy.
Well, bless him, just because he's a little daredevil.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Was Gizmo your first dog?
He's not my first dog. I have another chihuahua, but that was with my parents now.
Would you say that, because I know it's a real difficult one in like cities to get pets. So would you say that one, it's worth it? Two, what made you get a dog in the first place? And do you think it's really helped your like mental health and stuff in lockdown?
Oh yeah, definitely mental health for sure, for sure. Like 1,000%. The first lockdown I was by myself and I thought I was so down if I didn't have Gizmo. Just so like, he'll someone, he'll jump on my bed and be like, Mom, wake up. Feed me, take me out with me.
Give me attention.
Yeah, exactly. So that, otherwise I would have just stayed in bed all day and moped or whatever else. Because I initially found it really, really hard to transition to solely online. I did a few PTs before here and there, because I have a few clients in Saudi Arabia, to bring all the classes online, to not know what was going to happen, for it to
initially
2 weeks and then to go on for absolute months was really hard for me.
So much instability as well. And I think the nature of being a PT is it's so social. Like, that's one of the perks of the job, isn't it? You get to meet all these incredible people. And
yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that was tough. So for the first lockdown, he's definitely helped me so much. And just in general, like, I'm quite an anxious person, and he's just like helps with my anxiety. He's literally like my therapy dog.
I love that.
Oh, so much. She's so sweet. And I love my other new dog as well that I have, that we rescued. Oh, I have a dog with Josh now. That's how serious it is. We got a dog together.
Oh my God. It's legit. Guys, you've heard it here.
It's like, where's my ring, basically?
Honey, pin him down. The one way to make a guy commit is to get a dog.
Mm-hmm. Just wait,
yeah, yeah, you see the big diamond now.
Whenever that happens, great. Well, it is hard. I know it's very hard with dogs in London. I'm really lucky because Gizmo's so portable.
Yeah.
Before, when I was out in real life in London, that I could take him to clients' houses, bring him to the park. I could take him to some studios as well with me. So it was really good, and I was really lucky. And now I have Dodger. It's a bit harder, but Josh and I can manage it between us. Another thing that's good about the job is that I am really flexible, that I choose my own hours, have time to work from home and walk them and, yeah, whatever else. And thankfully, both of the breeds that I've chosen aren't the biggest walkers. They're not a dog that needs to go on for a run or anything like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely worth it. Even though they take a lot of your time and they cause you much anxiety when they're sick,
defo worth it in the end. They're like a part of the family. My housemate brought her dog down for the week and it literally changed her life. Her name's Perry. She looks like a miniature Springer, but I think she's like a working Springer or something like that. I'm not very good with dog breeds. Oh my goodness, it literally changed my life to have like this animal that just loved you like 24 hours of the day. Was just the best feeling.
They're always happy to see you.
Yeah, that's what I love about dogs. I feel like cats are a bit,
they're like meh.
They're just a bit of a diva, and it's like, I'm a diva in myself. I don't need an extra diva in the house.
Yeah, too much
drama in one place, like one queen at a time, please. But a dog is just the embodiment of joy,
literally. I love them so much. All of them,
every single, I know. And also, I found, I don't know if you find this, but when you walk the dog, people talk to you.
Oh yeah, they do.
And people don't talk to each other in London ever.
No, ever. Even on the tube, where it's like a written rule that you can't talk to anyone on the tube.
Yeah, don't look at us, don't talk.
Yeah. Okay, so it breaks down that wall that seems to be in place here.
Yeah, I feel it's like, I'm a dog person, I'm approachable, here we go.
Exactly. I'm a nice person.
Yeah, you can understand now why guys have quite often have photos with them with a pet, because it's like a magnet to girls.
It's cheeky, and usually half the time it's not even their dog.
Yeah, it's someone else's. Yeah, false news, false advertising. I've been cheated here.
Sorry, this could only move forward if you get a dog now. Otherwise, yeah, we can't continue dating or whatever.
I know. I keep dropping hints, but I'm not getting anywhere with mine at the moment. We'll get there eventually.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
One day you just buy one, like, oops, I went to go shopping and this happened.
It just dropped into my basket. Sorry. Going back to fitness, you said that obviously the nature of your job is super flexible. Is that what drew you to wanting to become a PT and be part of the fitness world? Or
not really, actually. In all honesty, I got into being a PT because I had a really strong fitness background when I was younger. And when London, I came to university and studied at London College of Fashion, and it's not beautiful. So I was like, what am I going to do? Should I join a gym? This was like 7 years ago. And I just found it was that point when girls started going to gym.
Probably, yeah.
You know what I mean? That whole strength and conditioning kind of competition type thing.
Yeah.
Boomed, especially in London. And I think I was just really daunted. I was quite anxious, like, what am I doing in the gym? I don't know what to do. So I got a personal trainer, and he actually became such a good friend. Like, he's so sweet. It's like, you know, you actually don't really need me. You should probably just do the PT course.
Yeah.
Okay, probably should. And I just did it because I was really interested in how I can learn more and where to take it or whatever in terms of my own training. And then from there, I started putting a few things on Instagram when I became qualified on the exercises that I was doing. And that was when a bar studio in London approached me and said,
yeah,
to teach for us. We can train you in the whole style of bar and whatever else. And then I stayed with that brand for about 4 years and became their head trainer, and then kind of branched off. And that's when I kind of wanted to do my own thing and do my own brands and stuff. And then started with Bodyism slightly, just to be within a studio still and still see people. and still teach classes before I do my own thing. And then lockdown happened a year later. And
then the virtual life happened. I love that. It sounds like it evolved really organically. And so then your passion has just stayed. It's not come from, oh, I want to do this like for the wrong reasons. Or it's because you actually love what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm really lucky for. Because there's so many people that are in jobs that they absolutely hate.
Yeah. What did you study at London College of Fashion, if you don't mind me asking?
I studied a degree and master's in production management because I really wanted to design not a fashion label, but a gym, like a gym wear brand.
Nice.
And I did want swimwear as well. But I just thought when I'd finished, it was kind of a saturated market. That's something I do want to go back into doing, but I kind of want to establish my name within the industry and kind of like grab following. So it's more easy to market.
It's more seamless to build the brand. It's really interesting because I feel everything, I'm a big believer that what's meant for you will stay, and doors that aren't meant to open won't, but the ones that will are there for a reason. And it sounds like it's quite cyclical. So even though you went the fashion route, it's all interwoven within the fitness world, which has brought you back to where you're meant to be. And actually you'll end up dipping your toes in the fashion later on. And I like that, because I feel at school we're not sold that story. We're sold that you have to do one thing for the rest of your life, and if you're miserable then oh well.
It's like, especially the school I went to, it's like you have to be a lawyer or a vet to be successful.
Oh gosh, 100%.
Don't do that, then you've actually failed in life. And if you don't make set amount of money by being those types of things, then you're literally terrible. Where it's like, you actually make probably more money doing something you enjoy, which is good.
And have the balance, of life and being able to live your life as well, rather than being like a slave to the 9 to 5. I definitely don't want to get into that trap.
No, exactly. More flexible. Sometimes you will work ridiculous hours, but it's for you, which is why it's so great.
Yeah, because you don't mind doing it then. Like, I'm doing a yoga teacher training starting in April. I'm so excited.
That's cool.
I'm so buzzing. I've wanted to do it for so long. So I'm doing it over 6 months. So it's, I think it's Wednesday to Saturday, 1 week every month. So I was debating whether to do like a 1 month intensive or to spread it out. But because the nature of my life is like things pop up last minute, it's easier for me to split it. But I'm so excited about it. I'm nervous because I feel like you just never feel ready.
Oh, don't be nervous. You'll be great, honestly. It's just like having the confidence.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the biggest reason why I wanted to do it. Because I've been practicing yoga for, blimey, since I was like 16, 17, like on and off. I don't like do it for all of the fancy inversions and things like that. It was just to move my body and feel good. So I know the stuff. It's just, I think having someone confirm to you, isn't it, that you actually know what you're talking about?
Yeah. And then getting that confidence to, I guess, teach.
I know. I'm really buzzing. I finally bit the bullet and I'm doing it. So being a personal trainer, and I guess especially because you train such high profile people as well, do you find that there's quite a lot of pressure to constantly be on top form and look a certain way or to behave a certain way?
I can see why there would be. I used to teach at a really, really nice studio in London. Not yet. Because we'd mentioned them, which is very high profile bodies, and I'm not saying it's not. But there was another studio that I was at, and I kind of felt like I had to go and wear makeup and be in my best shape ever, make sure I had every designer item that I owned on me to walk into the studio, and it was quite daunting. But I think as I've got older, I just really don't give a shit. Like, I know what I'm talking about, so if you don't, just simply fuck off, in all honesty.
I love that so much.
Half the time.
It's so true. But who does? Like, most people, if we're being honest, like me in lockdown, I get up, I'm still half asleep, I haven't washed my face, I've probably quickly downed some water, my hair's like how I slept in it, I smash out a workout, I'm dripping with sweat, I don't want to be in full makeup, a matching set. And
also what I have found is that people don't find it relatable. When I turn up like a PT session, yes, you know, I've made an effort to be clean and I look cool when I'm
one-on-one,
but they don't actually want me to be in a full face of makeup with my hair curled and me look perfectly trim, because it's like, you know, it's not relatable to them and their lives. And they, a lot of the time, they do just want to be a certain way. Yes, I do have certain people in like the spotlight, I guess, that have a lot of pressure on themselves to be a certain weight. And I used to feel daunted by that because I was bigger, and being like their trainer and being bigger, I'd be like, I feel like really awkward with this. But I think they've aspired to have more of a body like mine. They just feel that they can't, if that makes sense. Yeah. They have to be absolutely a size 0 not only because of what the comments they might get, it just because of the bad angles of the pictures that they might get when they're out in public or video shoots or whatever they do. So yeah, I guess it's a tricky one, but I think I felt it more when I was in person teaching classes in studio, because I think having a mixed race background, I naturally am more muscular. I do have bigger thighs, and that's not because I'm fat and I eat like shit. It's just because I'm naturally built. My health. It's just my genetics, and I am a muscular person. Yeah, I think as you get older, you kind of move away from those things, and you just appreciate that your body's healthy, that it can do what it wants to do. You move away from it, I think. But I do see how it can be very daunting, and how people will think, well, if I'm a PT, I must be in the best shape ever. I must be shredding. I must have a six pack. I must be a size zero. I must be under whatever kg. I must drink set amount of protein. It's really not like that. And I'm really happy to see that the whole industry is changing. It's moving.
Yeah. And that massive positive
of more looking into, you know, what's good for them, a balance. And that's what life's about, really.
Exactly. It's about I always talk about the 360 perspective. It's not just what you eat and how you move. It's actually emotionally how those things make you feel. So if you're working out for the wrong reasons, you shouldn't be doing it. I'm not a runner. I'll never be a runner. I hate it. You could not pay me to do it. But get me into a bar class or a dance class or a HIIT session and I could do it for hours. I absolutely love it. The same as I love a juice baby or a kale salad, but I could also demolish a cheesecake with a fork. So it's like, it's that balance, isn't it? And I think it's so refreshing to hear that somebody is as high profile as you encourages that, and that the fitness industry is changing.
Yes, it's definitely changing, which is so good to see.
Yeah, and I bet it's nice for you as a trainer as well.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. There isn't that pressure on trainers, because I remember when I first started training and people would critique other trainers, like, oh my gosh, she's really big for a trainer. Clearly she doesn't know what she's talking about.
Oh my goodness, that's shocking.
Yeah, there's a lot of criticism. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, you think about a word too much and you're like, oh gosh, I don't even know what that is anymore.
Oh yeah, but yeah, it's so good that everything is changing.
Yeah,
and everyone wants to be functional and happy.
Yes, which is the key to life, I think.
Exactly.
What would be your top tips for those who maybe have kind of shied away from fitness because they don't feel as confident in that area, but they do actually want to start a fitness journey and get things going? What would be your tips for them to enable that?
I think for starters, maybe lean out to a friend, because I find that a lot of time people are daunted by a personal trainer, like working one-on-one with someone, a lot of people do find daunting.
Yeah.
Maybe reach out to a friend to join a class together. And I think what's so good about lockdown is this whole accessibility to virtual classes.
100%.
Join classes with friends together and switch off your camera. So it's like the starting phase, you know, you might not want the whole class to see you. You might not want the trainer to see you. Obviously, that comes with its downfall because they can't correct you in your form or whatever. But as a starting point for you to really build your confidence, knowing your friend is in the class doing the same as you and knowing that no one can see what you're doing, but you're still getting that same workout is amazing. It doesn't matter if you do something for like 5 seconds and need a rest. It really doesn't matter. It's just getting going. And then I think just from that point, notice how good you feel within your body, how nice it is to actually move your body. And then start to pencil out when you should be doing it. Like, put it into your diary. Like, book it in like it's going to be a meeting. Because sometimes we don't train when we should.
Yeah.
And it works both ways, you know?
Like,
you train, but then times you undertrain. And that movement, you need to move your body also to feel good. And the more the more that you're lethargic and you feel down and depressed, the more you're kind of putting in yourself in this little hole that you actually need to get out of. And
then the behavior perpetuates itself because you just get stuck in this cycle of, oh, I'm tired, I don't have the energy, I don't have the time. So then I don't do the things that actually make me feel good. Whereas, like you said, penciling in that time like you would a coffee with a friend or a meeting is such a good way to look at it.
The 360 approach, because actually the 360 works on both ways when you're seeing, well, all I've done is sit on my ass, look at a screen for 14 hours on Zoom, sat at my desk, ate probably a lot of shit because you felt so hungry and so tired. But the food that you're eating at that point probably isn't the right types of food that you need to fuel your body in a nutritious way.
Yeah.
to give you the energy. I'm not knocking having a pizza or donut, whatever. Please do it. I love it.
Yeah.
Please do that. Have some wine. But sometimes you actually need to think, I need fuel that's going to fuel me in the right way.
Yeah.
This time.
100%. What would you say has been your biggest learning curve from the lockdown? Both as like a businesswoman, because you run so many businesses, which is absolutely sensational. But also moving forward, how are you going to take those learning curves and push into the adult world?
Oh, gosh. I think I'm very critical on myself. Mm. So I've learned to like step back, and I've always wanted to control everything. Like I have to be the best at whatever I'm doing. Everything that I'm doing. And some things I can't control. Like with Level Up, we were meant to start in summer last year, basically, bringing our trainers into different studios, and we had 5 studios starting. And right now, like 8 months later, we're still at a point where we've got these trainers on hold, we've got these networks on hold, and we can't do it. That's not our fault. It's just
it's totally out of your control, because
control. And usually I think I'd be beating myself up about it. I'd be like, I need to find a way that we could do this. And it's like, well, actually government law says that no one studio, so I can't actually do it.
Yeah, it's no reflection of you as a businesswoman or as a trainer or as an individual. It's just life throwing a curveball.
Exactly. And I thought that I always had to have different sources of income, which I do think you should have. Like, it is great to have different sources of income. And if one gets cut off, you'll always have the other. And I ran my own like marketing agency before, where I had about 10 different clients before lockdown, the start 1.0. And they were clients, like, but they were cosmetic dentists or surgeons or people in the beauty industry that had their own salons. And those contracts were just like, we have to end right now. And at the beginning, I was like, oh my God.
It's terrifying. Like,
what is going on? I was so comfortable to, I'm shit scared right now. I don't know what's happening. No, so the whole marketing thing that I actually kind of studied, the business side of things, that can't happen right now, because I'm gonna have to like reinvent what I'm doing at that side of things. And then also my training, like one-on-one PTs, that can't happen unless they go virtual. And some people just don't like virtual, I'm not going to lie. Like,
yeah, they don't respond to it. They need somebody physically there.
Yeah, they really enjoy that human connection and they don't feel like they can get it from the PTs. So I did like lose some PTs. Thankfully, I've gained some. But, you know, initially, I was kind of like, oh my God, this is so daunting.
Yeah.
I think I've just realized that, you know, I can't control everything. I need to take a step back. I'm not failing because some things have gone wrong. This is just life right now.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to, or I will be able to take that into other situations. Like, just be a little bit more relaxed, not like so wound up about things.
I totally relate to that. I think it's so hard. And I think not enough people talk about it. Like, we see all of these successful business owners or content creators or things in the media all the time about how everyone's doing so great, but no one talks about the setbacks and the learning curves that has given them in order to get where they are. And I totally relate in the sense that the acting industry literally just stopped. Everything I've trained for my entire life just doesn't exist anymore. And then most actors work in the industries that also had to shut. We call it the muggle job. That disappeared. So I totally relate in having to like step back, adapt, think about what you're going to do and then try and make it work. But I do think that that's where the true growth is, and actually where...
Definitely, I totally agree with that.
Yeah, where you push forward.
Definitely. I think if it hadn't have happened, I wouldn't have really been able to put the marketing and PR into myself, because before I was like, why am I doing this for everyone else and I never actually do it for myself? Like that. And then I actually had the chance to do that. And it's like, this is great, because I'm actually building my own name now rather than other names. So I've got to take that as such a positive.
I love it. I mean, and you're also, I mean, massive kudos to you. I love female badassery, is that a word? Female badasses anyway. And the fact that you're a founder of like how many companies? Two companies. You're also a founder of your own brand and PT name. Like, that's sensational to be able to balance all of that and still maintain your well-being and be a nice person and have a relationship and be a dog mom. Like, how do you do it?
Well, I haven't had children yet, so that's the true test, isn't it?
Yeah, that'll be the ultimate
test. I'd need nannies, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's where
I was. Mums do it. Like, that is a thing. Like, how do you run a business and actually be a mum? That's like my next mindset. Like, how do you do that? That's crazy.
Right.
What's the balance? Especially when I'm seeing, like, I'm doing a lot of like calls with like classes and Zoom sessions, one-on-ones with mums, and you see children in the background and they're so calm, and the kid is like throwing a rock or a truck or a ball, screaming like, mom, and I'm like, okay, do more push-ups. And then he's like, do more, you're not doing it very well, mummy, you're rubbish. And I'm like, oh my god, how do you do that?
Yeah, because this is the thing with pets, you can just like, they'll just bark at you, but then they'll leave you alone, whereas a child is incessant, they don't stop
growing. Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate profession, isn't it, mom? Especially because they've had no school and homeschool and stuff. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's crazy. Homeschool and do your own job at the same time.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Ultimate time management. But I bet you're quite good at time management because of the nature of your job and that you do so many things.
I'd say but you know, I'm a little bit OCD with that. That's like the whole, at 6 a.m. have to do it. See, my diary's like 6 a.m. walk the dogs, 7 a.m. This, make sure you shower. Then it's like 9 a.m. class, 10 a.m. PT. It's like,
it's like the ultimate time blocking I've heard that quite a lot recently. And to be fair, I'm not as strict. So I'll put loose times in, but I can be a bit naughty and I don't really listen to them. I'll be like, oh, I'll just move that to like 5 o'clock instead.
Work at any time.
Literally. But time blocking, definitely that kind of thing, I think is quite helpful to actually stay on top of stuff.
Otherwise, I think I'd be like, oh my God, I've got so many things on my to-do list. I love a to-do list, a virtual to-do list that you just ping it off. To-do by Microsoft is the best app. It's so good. It's so satisfactory.
I love that. I love something that I can tick off or highlight. And so I'm really OCD. Like, I love a spreadsheet and stuff like that. I'm so lame.
I think that's cool. Very cool.
Thank you. Maybe this is the sign of adulthood, isn't it? That spreadsheets have become my new form of self-care.
Good.
What would be your favourite forms of self-care at the moment?
I think it's all about, I love my skincare products. Although I never put makeup on or anything anymore, I love a skincare routine. I'm obsessed.
Yes.
But that's another thing with Josh that's annoying. Not that it's about annoying. He uses all my skincare products.
Ah, I'd be livid.
Like, you really need my hyaluronic acid? No, you don't need that.
No, you don't need that.
You don't need it.
Step away from the vitamin C products, please.
Exactly. The retinol is not for you. It's for me. I love a good, you know, vitamin C, hyaluronic acid, SPF every single day. I'm getting old, you know, as I said. I'm going to make sure my SPF is on.
I know. I wish I'd been taught about SPF sooner, because I didn't really, like, I've always worn sun cream when I was on holiday and stuff, but like, I didn't really put sun cream on my face unless I was away. So it's, and I was like, oh my goodness, if I'd have learned about this when I was 14, 15, imagine how much better my skin would be. Whereas now I'm trying to play catch up. And I'm like, I'll wear SPF in winter now because I'm like, must prevent.
Always. It even helps with like being on your laptop and stuff all the time.
Oh, from the rays and things like that. There's so much learning I need to do. What are your favourite products at the moment?
Murad. That's a great brand.
Yeah, I'm a massive advocate for those.
So good. So by Abaji. Amazing.
Yeah.
And The Ordinary.
Yes.
Cheap, but so good.
And just pure and simple.
Exactly. So yeah. Three brands that I swear by.
I love that so much. Would you say that your skincare routine is quite long, or do you like to keep it simple?
I'd say it's fairly simple. I mean, well, it's not. I cleanse, I tone, but then I have like a serum that I put in a moisturizer, then I have a sealing moisturizer. Sometimes I use a vitamin C like every other day. Then I use a retinol every other day in the evening. Yeah, no, it's not that simple. It's quite
ultimate level of bougie.
Yeah, it's intense. Write it down and everything, make sure I did it that day and not that day, that day.
Yes, you know, overdose on the vitamin C.
Exactly.
And what other practices would you say, or that you would offer to other people as a good form to like make sure that they stay on top of themselves, be kind to themselves?
I think not putting too much pressure on yourself is a good one. And for me, I just do think my working out is like self-care for me. Like, I feel it's a form of therapy. I feel so good when I've just done a session, and it doesn't even have to be that intensive. It can be anything from yoga to bar to a HIIT session, just really depending on my mood. As long as I've moved, I feel so much better.
Yes, I agree, especially because we're stuck in the same four walls as well. I think changing your scenery and just moving shifts all that stagnancy, doesn't it?
Exactly. And I love going on what I call manifestation walk. So
tell me more.
It's like my favorite music. I'll pop it on and I go on a really long walk and I'll really think about the things that I want to achieve that day, that week, that month, whatever it is. That's about half of the walk. And then it kind of then turns into more gratitude of what I'm already appreciative of and what I already have and how far I've already come. And I kind of just think about all those things whilst on my little brisk marching walk.
I love that so much. There's actually a lot of, I've discovered in lockdown, a lot of really nice walks in London, which has really surprised me.
Yeah.
There was like a Japanese garden in Holland Park that I didn't know existed. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. It's really for me, actually.
Yeah, because you're South Kensington, aren't you?
High Street Ken.
High Street Ken, the gorgeous park.
That's cute. Very, very nice.
I like the idea of manifesting, though, whilst you're walking. Because I feel I always want to bring manifestation practices into my life, but I'm not a person that can sit there with a crystal and be, I want this. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just feels like I'm just sat there like an idiot.
What am I doing?
Help me. Like, is this going to work? Crystal, please just help.
Mate, tell me something. Make it work. Yeah, no, I love to be just like out and just thinking about those things. And that's another thing. Like, even in gratitude diaries, I think is really great as well.
I've got one of those one line a day journals and I started it the year I graduated drama school because it was a really difficult transition to go from this full-time intensive training to being like thrown into the world and having no idea what was going on. And I'm so glad that I started it because now every year you look back and you can see like where you were this time last year.
It's amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah. We progress so much. We're always so hard on ourselves, but you actually grow so much and looking back makes you realize how much you have.
100%. There's that really corny quote, isn't it? You only look back to see how far you've come or something like that.
Exactly.
So corny, but so true. And one of my questions that I like to ask everyone is one thing that you wish you were taught in school.
Oh, accountancy. I'm like, well, I don't know how to do finance, all that shit. I mean,
yeah,
I had to like outsource an accountant. And that's pretty expensive.
It really annoys me.
I told you about this whole VAT and tax and corporate tax, all that shit. Because I have no flipping clue.
Yeah, honestly.
And some of you know, like, Amy, did you pay this? What the fuck is this? I don't even know what it is. I never even heard of it in my life. Oh, no, I didn't pay it because I didn't even know I had to pay it. What? So I wish they were like, I wish you learned more practical things.
Yes. Things that were actually functional rather than algebra and like Pythagoras' theorem.
Because I've got a calculator on my phone. And then I think more kind of like emotions and how to deal with your emotions a bit more.
Yeah.
Therapy could be like more talked about in school, like a thing that you did. And yoga, because one of my friends grew up in India and yoga was something that they had to do every morning. That was a class.
Oh, wow. Almost like PE, but better. Yeah, that would have been so beneficial, I think, at school to have that mindfulness and to connect inwards rather than being forced to play hockey. And if you weren't sporty, then you were just kind of outcast from the year.
Yeah, like, oh, God, there's a loser over there, aren't they?
But even bad at sport, I was good at like ball sports. So things like volleyball, netball, that kind of thing. But anything like on the floor, so like hockey, football, all of that, get me out. I hated it so much. I was literally just like, please let me leave. So yeah, at school, I used to just put my singing lessons in or pretend I was at a singing lesson and they never questioned anyway.
Fair enough. No, that makes it weird how like sports day used to be a very daunting day for me.
I hated it.
Even though I was kind of good, I was good. And everyone was like, Amy's going to sprint this bit. No, Amy's actually so nervous, she's going to vomit. Like,
Correction,
Amy's not doing anything. She's going to be in a corner, hide behind some other kids, pretend she's not there.
Yeah, there's
a lot of pressure, isn't it? And I think it's only when you look back, it's like, that wasn't necessary. And all those girls that were bitches, that's irrelevant now. Like, you think it's such a big part of your life. Of course it is. But you actually grow up and you find your people, which is so nice.
I was talking about this with my housemates the other day about how, like, there's always that popular group at school, isn't there, that everyone thinks is the best, and you spend, like, your whole life kind of being on the outskirts and feeling like you don't fit in if you're not part of that. But then actually, like you said, when you go to college and uni and actually adult life, one of the best things about it is that you realise that most of those people that were probably in that popular group in the first place are still doing the same thing they've always done and haven't grown and changed, when you've actually found who you are, found your people.
Exactly. It's so true.
And it doesn't matter anymore. And I love the idea of therapy as well. I think I know when I was at school, if someone was seeing a therapist, it was it just wasn't spoken about. Mental health just wasn't spoken about in general, or feeling sad wasn't either.
Yeah. And I think there's so much that happens to everyone. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel stressed.
Yeah.
And it can be taken to another level. You could have depression. You could have anxiety, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that should just be accepted and spoken about, and kind of like a thing that, you know, you just do.
Yeah. I think everybody should have a therapist or go to therapy at some point, because I think everyone has some form of trauma or emotions they don't understand that actually it would be really beneficial to like dig deep into. And
of course, do that childhood imago. Let's find it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Talk to your inner child. Process your emotions. I'm so bad because I'm really good at offering the people advice and listening and kind of being the therapist, but I'm the worst in actually acknowledging it myself. Like, I'll start bullying myself for no reason. Like the other day I'd had a breakout on my face, and I messaged my boyfriend and was like, I'm not coming. And he was like, why? And I was like, because you can do a dot to dot puzzle on my face, and this is all this and this. And I basically blamed the whole day on my skin, when actually something had happened in the morning that probably made me feel really sad. And that was what was actually going on. But in my head, I was like, no, it's because my face is a dot to dot puzzle. It's ridiculous, isn't it? How you just like spiral out of nowhere for no reason, just because you refuse to acknowledge everything.
It's crazy. Yeah, but I'm the exact same. I can be like so considerate and thinking about other people and how they should process it and what they should do. And myself, I'm like, Amy, you're an idiot. Why did you do that?
Yeah, there's no...
You should...
Passion at all. It's like literally 0 to 100.
Honestly, myself, I would never say to anyone ever.
Yeah.
But this was crazy. Like, you should be the kindest to yourself, because it's like you're your own best friend, really. You've got to live with it. You want to feel happy. So,
yeah, so true. One of my friends always says, if I say anything horrible about myself or like self deprecate in front of her, she's always like, be nice to my friend. And I like that. don't be mean to my friend. And I'm like, oh, that's nice.
That's really cute.
Yeah. So I definitely recommend trying that. I mean, I'm still like, again, like I need to practice what I preach, but.
Okay. I try. Working through it.
We're working through it. It's slow progress, not perfection.
Yeah, exactly.
And to finish it all off, what is your favourite thing about being an adult? We talk about how adulting's really hard, but actually, what's your favourite thing about being an adult?
I think it's just making my own decisions. Like, I can do what the fuck I want. Like, out lockdown. If I'm going to go on holiday tomorrow, I'm going on holiday tomorrow. Like, yeah. I just make my own decisions. I don't want to eat the broccoli. I don't eat the broccoli. And I don't care. Like, it's great. Those things are great. Making my own decisions. Perfect. Love it.
100%. Having autonomy over your own life.
Exactly. And I'm really lucky that I've never had the parents that have kind of put things on me and expected to do certain things. And, you know, I mean, for some people, there was always a bit weird that my parents were like, what would Amy like to do? Whatever she wants to do, she can do it.
Yeah.
In every sense, like, what does she want to eat? What does she want to do? What's her day going to be like? Like, every sense, they've been very kind of like chilled about it all.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I've always been lucky in that aspect. And that going into my adult life, I guess, is even better, because I can just choose to do these holidays or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I guess the way that you were brought up has given you the confidence to be able to go forth with your decisions and not doubt yourself, and to be able to orchestrate your own day and not need someone to tell you what to do. Because I think most people are probably the reverse, in that they're so used to everyone else controlling their life that they don't know how to control their own.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's made me very bossy. My boyfriend. Well, made me also bossy.
You just know what you want.
That's how I see it.
I'm exactly the same. I like to think I'm not a stereotypical only child, but the only child comes out in me every now and
then. My only child comes out a lot. I'm nearly like, I say it, I'm nearly 30, and people are like, you're an only child, aren't you? Yes, I am.
I am. Is that a problem?
No, I don't think it is.
We just like things to be our way.
Exactly.
We're not used to having to like accommodate for others. I think that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. So true.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. It's also so nice to see your face.
It's been so long.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I met Amy at Bodyism, which is the gym that both of us used to work at. And we used to have like little sneaky chats in the corner, normally over like pancakes or something, which I haven't had in so long. I really need to go back and have their pancakes.
They're the best pancakes.
Oh, they're like, I think there's a recipe on their website for their body to, but yeah, I think it's just nice to have someone else make them for you, isn't it?
For sure.
Oh, also, quick question. I saw in your story you use the eco egg.
Yes.
Is it good? Because I've been researching this for so long because I really don't like using the squishy pod things because they're so bad for the environment. Yeah. Tell me more. Does it work?
Because I don't fully know if it's good or not.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing.
That's
the
good.
The drying ones are really good. I love the washing ones, but the dryer, it has like these a scent within the egg for the drying eggs.
And oh, okay.
It creases and it smells amazing. So that's good. Help dry your clothes and iron them at the same time. The washing ones, I'm not sure. Like, it seems very weird that there's these little balls that you put into the egg that washes your clothes. I can't quite grasp
them. Yeah, my brain.
My brain's like, what? And it works for 70 washes, apparently.
So you don't have to refill it every time?
Nope, it's just there. I presume when the little balls have disintegrated, then it's done. But how does it wash? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah, because I'm so used to, I'm so used to having to add softener and then like a squishy tab and then.
Exactly, but this is all of it. It's the detergent and the fabric conditioner in one, but you know.
Oh, wow.
I'll let you know about that.
Yeah, keep me updated. It
might be like a fad.
This is what I worry about because I get sucked into these kind of Instagram trends thinking that they're going to work.
Yeah.
And they're just not the same.
Not the same. But you want to be good for the environment, right? So
yeah.
To give it a whirl. We can say we tried.
We moved forward.
There's also another brand called Living Clean. Another brand which is like eco-friendly, smells amazing, pet safe, obviously.
Obviously, for the babies.
And they're so good. They send you in initially your little pots, which are in like tin spray cans.
Yeah.
And then they come in like these little packets of refill packets. And then they send the packets off and away. And then they can recycle them, send them to clients, make trousers, leggings.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And that's called Living Proof, did you say?
Living Clean.
Living Clean. Why did I say Proof? I don't know where I got that from. But
that's the brand. That's the hair brand.
Dry hair brand. There we go. I knew I'd got it from somewhere.
Yeah.
And can you tell everyone where to find you, all of your link, anything you've got up and coming that we all need to know about? I mean, you're always up to something.
I've got new sites coming and new events, like bar launch events and big things happening whenever we can open it.
That'll be fun.
Which will be at this new place called Chameleon, which is in Marylebone.
Yeah.
Opening whenever it can open, which will be very exciting. And then I've got retreats coming up, which are exciting in Jamaica, and one's coming up in Saint-Tropez, which will be at the end of the year.
Lovely. That would be a nice form of self-care for everyone to invest in.
Exactly. And yeah, I guess I'm always doing little different bits and bobs, so you can find it all probably on my Instagram is the easiest thing to see.
Yeah.
Which is Amy Victoria Long.
Fabulous. I just love your name. It just is so bougie and fabulous. It just rolls off the tongue. You would have been a great celeb if you'd have gone into the acting world. Do you know what I mean? Amy Victoria Long. Great acting name. Love it.
Maybe I'll
transition over. I'd love to have you.
Thank you. It was nice chatting to you.
Yeah, you
do. Have a good day.
I will. And you too. Have a good one, babe. And you go to your little gorgeous baby. I'm so glad he's better.
Thank you.
To stay in the know on Jeans and a Nice Top podcast, follow us on Instagram at Jeans and a Nice Top Pod. And make sure to hit that follow and subscribe button for the latest drops and guest reveals. Thank you so much for listening. And I'll catch you on next week's episode, Podalters.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.